Due to the economic crisis, the church has been faced to downsize. As you know, we don't have a full choir here, but they're on vacation, I think, you know. But anyway, we decided to downsize the length of the sermons. We all know and heard the expression, "I have good news and bad news." Which would you like to hear first? Well, you already heard the good news of the gospel. In today's gospel, John takes us back to the Last Supper, when Jesus had good news and bad news, so to say, for his disciples. And you know, some people talk about being distracting during prayer. Jesus was interrupted by his disciples, at least three times. First, who is going to betray you? Then another one, Thomas, where are you going? How can we know the way? And Philip, Lord, show us the Father. Now, Jesus could have said, shut up, I am praying. But he didn't. He answered. He was very patient with his disciples. It's like Pope Francis, you know. We all have heard, as I said, the expression, good news and bad news. At the Last Supper, Jesus, he knew his mission is going to be completed in a few hours. So as they were having, in a way, a good time celebrating the Passover, here comes Jesus with the bad news. I am going away. This was very sad for the disciples. Here they are, as I said, celebrating, and he comes with this announcement. The good news is that Jesus, at that very moment, he promised that he will not leave them orphans. He promised the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, he calls him. In a way, it's a lawyer to be with them. The Holy Spirit who will substitute victory for defeat, hope for despair, strength for weakness, and courage for fear. This Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Father Jerome, in fact, he wanted to wear what color on Pentecost? What color? Red. See? He would be wearing red too, you know, so don't worry about it. And so, the Holy Spirit came upon them. We also have been told that we are not orphans. Jesus uses the word in the old translation, abide. We are to abide in him, where we find security and peace. Now, to abide is to become so in love with Jesus that separation is no more possible. Live in me and I in you. Abide in me and I will abide in you. Jesus has chosen to abide with us. What great happiness and great news. Saint Augustine says, to fall in love with God is the greatest of all romances. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest human achievement. Now, such love of God for us, which is really revealed in Jesus Christ, he is the fulfilled revelation of the love of God. Such love should evoke a response from us, and that response is one of obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The test of love is obedience. Now, let's be careful here. God does not want to be obeyed by fear-dominated people. I don't come to church because I have to. No, I come here to be a part of the community because I love God. So God wants to be served and loved by human beings, that is, with true love and not fear. Living this beautiful relationship with God is not always easy. The world we live in does not always validate what we believe. We know that. I was reading in a newspaper this past week that Christianity is the most persecuted religion right now. As you know, that the church in China has been persecuted for years. Now they are even raising the Catholic churches, raise them down to nothing. In the Holy Land, we have the holy city of Bethlehem, surrounded by a wall. If you remember, the Berlin Wall divided Germany. And if it wasn't for Reagan and Pope John Paul II, we would still have that wall up. Now we know also that, as Pope Benedict XVI said, we are to start evangelizing. In fact, he was very direct about Europe. Christianize Europe because you are going to lose it. And you know, there's over 200 million Muslims in Europe. In the meantime, the Christians are sleeping. One of these days they will wake up and they will find out that their religion is no longer alive. The United Nations is joining in a way in criticizing and telling the Catholic Church what to do and how to run itself. Now, the United Nations, as you know, should sit down and solve its own problems first. I don't know what they have done yet. They were not able to bring down the Berlin Wall. They are not able to bring down the walls around Bethlehem. And what about the human rights? They just sit and talk. And then they said, we meet again, and we meet again, and we meet again. In the meantime, people are being murdered. Children, women, and men. Christianity is the religion following Jesus Christ, who tells us, if you love me, obey my commandments. And you know, to obey God's commandments is not only a privilege, but it is also a way to bring the people of God under one banner, the family. We obey. And when we obey, we become children of God, and then, of course, brothers and sisters. You know, every day that you pick up the paper today, too, you see the word to apologize. Everybody is apologizing. You have to be careful what to say, because next day you have to apologize for saying it or for doing it. You know, we want us to apologize the word for holding on to the Christian principles. Young people have to apologize nowadays. They have to apologize for still being virgins. You have to apologize for living the gospel of Jesus Christ and most of the time, practicing Christians are called hypocrites. You probably have been called a hypocrite. You know, those, I don't go to church. Why? They're all hypocrites. My answer is, there is always room for one more. And you know something? If you live the commandment of God, you owe an apology to no one. They teach us to live well by loving God and neighbor, respecting the property of other people, treat everyone with dignity, love one another as children of God. What do you have to apologize for? Jesus said, the road is going to be rough. He never promised a rose garden, but he said again, do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit given to us is an expert in life. He is God's love personally among us. And this love is so powerful that nothing can stop it. This is the life of the true Christian disciple. It's a love that is willing to sacrifice. United as people of God through the Holy Spirit, we offer the gifts of ourselves together with our Eucharistic Lord. Jesus breathes into us his Spirit so that we have the courage to live and promote his gospel. A friend of mine, who a rabbi in Riverside, one time we were talking. I don't know what I said, but anyway, he said to me, don't apologize, just be right. I say to you that you can turn them around. Don't apologize, just be right. Or be right, then you don't have to apologize to anyone. God bless you.